when God heals you, when God blesses you financially, when God opens a door for you, when God gives you a promotion in your job. He's not doing it, let me just do a little favor. She get on my nerves, but let me do it. God is not like that. God is saying, he's not like your parents say, you don't really deserve this, but here. No, God is saying, you deserve it. You're a king. You're a queen. You're all of that. My beloved son, my beloved daughter. Here you go.
Welcome to the City Light Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today as we look into God's word and discover the hope and truth that he has for us. If you want to connect with City Light Church, feel free to visit us at citylightnyc.com. That's citylightnyc.com. Pastor Boyan Jancic and his team believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is already working in our hearts and minds. As you listen to today's teaching, remember that you are deeply loved by God, that you are surrounded by his grace, and that he has a real hope and a future for you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bo. I was like, Bo? All right. What's going on here? Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Pastor Boyan, for this great invitation. I know it was the last minute because of what happened. Thank you to my pastor, Pastor Patrick, for, you know, just stepping in and doing what he had to do to cover for me. And so we're excited. Amen. We had a great service last service. We're going to have a great service this service. Amen. The anointing's already flowing for the first service, so we're good. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Not just rivers flowing from me to you, it's rivers flowing from your spirit into the atmosphere. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. We're in this beautiful divine exchange in the presence of God. I want to honor the first lady of the house, Emily Jancic, and the great Pastor James. Amen. Isn't he so cool? I was sitting there and I was thinking, I gotta tell him, he has this great finesse about him. Just smooth. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You know, he makes Pastor Boyan look good. Oh, praise God. And I have visiting with us one of my pastors, Pastor Samantha. You're gonna give her a hand. She wasn't planning to come, but I said, oh, why don't you come? And she just said, yeah, I feel like I should come. So she came. So we're glad to have her here too. So we're going to get right into the message again. It's going to be the same message from last week. I mean, from the first service. And it's entitled, He Will Never Stop. Somebody say, God will never stop. So Pastor James or somebody's going to go around. And I want you to help me, some audience participation. I want four of you, because I'm going to start. It'll be five of us. To tell me something that you will never stop doing. And I told the last service, they were laughing, that I will never stop eating White Castles. Now, I eat healthy, I try, but that spirit of White Castles comes back on me. And I have to get some. I just had some the other day. And I found out that I didn't know this for so long, that I could get extra onions and extra pickles. So I definitely love White Castles. All right. I need four other people to raise your hand. Something that you will never stop doing. Keep it clean. Thank you. Come on.
Making people laugh.
Ah, like that. That's good. Must be a professional comedian. I love it. All right. Three more people. Something you will never stop doing.
Never stop giving and helping people who in need.
Amen. Come on. Helping people in need. I love that. Two more. Come on, y'all. Audience participation. Something you will never stop doing. Yeah, we have that person and I need one more.
I will never stop praying for those that are not saved in my family and in the church.
Praise God. Come on, prayer for the salvation of the unsaved. Thank you, Jesus. And there's one more right there.
Never stop inspiring others.
I will never stop inspiring others. Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. I thought some of y'all would, y'all are, this is a deep church. I thought somebody would say, I will never stop watching Power. I will never stop, you know, going to, you know, never mind. I guess I'm the only one who has a little carnality in my life. He was like, what's Power? Never mind, don't worry about it. It's a TV show and star that Christians shouldn't be watching. But I like a little gangster stuff. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So we're taking notes. So the first thing I want you to write down is that he, talking about the Father, will never stop loving you. God is excited and serious about loving you. He is love. The Bible says God is love. And so love is his essence. And so he cannot help but love you. Amen? Go with me to Jeremiah 31, verse 3. It's coming up on the screen. And it says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Now, other translations will say, the Lord has appeared afar, or has appeared in the distance, you know, and people are, the translation trying to figure out, is talking about from long ago, or from eternity past, or from just at a distance. I believe it means at a distance based on the context. And if you go back to Jeremiah 30, I didn't go that deep into it, this passage will make a lot of sense to you. The background is that Israel is in captivity in the Babylonian Empire, and you know, for their sins, you know, going after other gods, all that kind of stuff, things that they did over and over again. And so they're in bondage, they're in slavery, they're not really happy about what's going on. Matter of fact, in one of the scriptures in Jeremiah 30, the chapter right before, he says, do men give birth to babies? Talking about men, the male. And the answer is obviously no. So he says, why are you bowed over like a woman who is giving birth to a baby? Because the people were in agony. They were just so upset about the condition they were in. And God is like, yeah, you're in that condition because of what you did. But guess what? I'm not going to destroy you like the other nations I've destroyed completely. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to restore you. You're not going to go unpunished, but I'm going to help you. But then after he says all the stuff he's going to do to restore them and to bring them back, he said, I'm going to restore you back to your lands that I gave to your fathers, all this stuff. He says, let me tell you why I'm doing it. I love you. You disappointed me. You hurt me. You went after other gods. And you can see these gods have done nothing for you. But I'm bringing you back. I'm restoring you because I love you. I'm forgiving you because I love you. Amen. The Lord's love is steadfast. The Lord's love will never end. The Lord's love goes on and on. And it doesn't matter what condition you're in, doesn't matter where you're at in life, whether you're at the top, you're at the bottom, you're in between, the Father loves you. Jesus was talking to a very religious man, Nicodemus, who came to him at the night. I call it Nick at night. Remember that? Nick came through. Because, you know, he had to keep his social status up. But I need to talk to you, Jesus, about some things. And he talked to him about being born again. He was talking about one thing. He said, we know that you're a teacher sent from God because of the miracles which you do. And then Jesus switched the subject to talk about being born again. He says, I'm an old man. How can I be born again? I go back in my mother's womb? He says, how are you one of the leaders of Israel and you don't know this concept? And then he talked about being born of the water of the Spirit. And then he said, make this statement. Now, people put this on plaques and you see them on TV, but you got to understand this scripture that we quote, that we memorize in Sunday school, or if you went to Sunday school, is really a statement in a conversation. So Jesus is talking back and forth with Nicodemus, and he's talking about the born-again experience. And then he says, this is the basis of it. For, I mean, this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's actually telling this to a religious leader who's an old man. He said, God loves the whole world. He loves the Jewish nation, but really, if you want to really know the whole picture, he loves the entire world. So he sent me. One translator says his one and only son. There's no more. I'm it. And then in verse 17, which people don't memorize, he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. The religious leaders of Israel at that time did not understand this. They understood Lord God. They understood judgment. They understood the Messiah is coming to restore Israel right to his great place. He says, guys, let me tell you what this is really about. Love. God the Father loves you, but not only you, Israel. He loves the whole world. And I'm here to save the whole world. Even his disciples didn't understand that. Even after his death. Remember the vision Peter had of the unclean animals? He says, rise, kill, and eat. He says, not so, Lord. He says, I've never done that. So now you have somebody telling the Lord no when he said do it. Because they were caught into their religious tradition. And now God said, I have a new covenant in place. He says, what I've called clean, you don't call unclean. What I've called blessed, you don't call common no more. Peter, this is for the whole world. Amen. And one of the things you want to do in your life, as Pastor James said, you want to bring people on Sunday for Easter. Not just so you can say, I fulfilled my duty to bring somebody. No, with the understanding that God loves the whole world. God loves my neighbor. God loves my coworker that gets on my nerves. God loves my boss that I don't like. God loves everybody. Amen? But as you progress as a believer, you have to take it personal and recognize that the Father loves me. Daddy, thank you for your love. You should wake up saying that. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you care about me. Thank you that you're deeply passionate about me. Amen, because he is. And he says, it's an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Yeah, you and I, Israel, we're at a distance, but my loving kindness is going to draw you in. My love, my warmth, my compassion is going to draw us back together again. So that distance that's there is going to be closed. The good news, in the new covenant, we don't have distance with God. We're near to him by the blood of Jesus. Amen? But sometimes things in life will make us feel like we're far from God. But you have to create in your conscience, in your mind, that no, I'm not far from God. I'm very near to my Father, and God does love me with an everlasting love. He cares about me. The Bible says, cast your care on the Lord, because what? He cares for you. Praise God. There's somebody, you have a problem in your neck right here. Just turn your neck. It may be some stiffness. Jesus is healing you right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Raise your hand if that's you. And the Lord is healing you now of your neck. That's you? Yeah, I see your hand. Amen. Can we praise God for that? Thank you, Jesus. That's you too? Praise God. Just raise your hand. Yeah, turn that neck. You're healed in Jesus' name. One of the things I told the Lord years ago, I said, you know, when I was to see people flow in the gifts of the Spirit, I said, I like when you interrupt the preaching and give words of knowledge. So I said, I want you to do that with me. And ever since I prayed that, he does that with me. Amen. Don't wait to the end of the service. Do it in the middle. And he does. Ask and you shall what? Receive, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's going to be more healings. You may feel heat come on your body in Jesus' name. I feel God wants to heal backs. And if you have a back problem, God's going to heal you in Jesus' name. Because he loves you. Amen. Come on, somebody. All right. Let's go. Now down to Psalm 89:33. This is from the NLT version. And this is a statement by Ethan the Ezraite about David. This is the psalm that he wrote. And it says, "But I will never stop loving him, nor fail to keep my promises to him." That whole psalm is about God's faithfulness to David. It's really powerful. I love one scripture where it says, "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the words that's going out of my lips." That's how crazy faithful God is. Amen. But this is about David. Now we know that David messed up a lot. Am I right? You know, he was a great guy. He was the one who killed Goliath, the little ruddy, good-looking kid, protecting the sheep and all that stuff. And then God pushed him to the forefront, and he became this great warrior. And then he's anointed to be the next king, but he doesn't get into that right away. And he's, what's that word when somebody's on the run? He's a fugitive. The fugitive, and he's running from the crazy man, Saul. Saul was crazy. Read the story. It's really bizarre. But anyway, he finally becomes king, and so he's doing great things with Israel and doing great things for the kingdom. But then he gets comfortable, and he's standing on his rooftop, and he looks over, and he sees a woman, Bathsheba. It's not like he didn't know who she was. This is the wife of his captain, the one who's leading his military excursions. And he calls for her, and he has sex with her, and he commits adultery. And he then when the husband comes back, he finds out that she's pregnant. She comes to him and says, "I'm pregnant." He brings the husband and said, "Hey, go sleep with your wife, man. Have a good time." He's like, "No, we're not doing that. Nobody's having a good time right now until this conquest is over." David's like, "Man, what am I going to do?" And so he says, "Hey, I'm going to put you to the front line." The king says, "You're going to the front line, you're going to the front line." But everybody knows the front line means death. So he set up his murder. He does die. And then the prophet comes to him and says, "Bro, you messed up." But he says, "I'm going to tell you a story." So he tells him the story about a man, a rich man who had all this stuff, and a poor person who had only one little sheep. And he says, and the rich man took that one sheep from that poor man. And he said, "Oh, who's this guy?" And he wanted to frame down vengeance. And the prophet said, "It's you." David says, falls out. His conscience smokes him. And he cries and cries. And the Lord, through the prophet, says, "I'm not going to kill you. I should kill you, but I'm not going to kill you." I'm paraphrasing. This is the Maurice Johnson version. "But I'm going to put away your sin. But the sword will never leave your home. There's a judgment on your family now. But I'm going to put away your sin." And in the new covenant, God has put away our sin. The Bible says that he has taken away our sin. Remember, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But in the book of Hebrews, Paul says that our sins have been put away also. And there's a difference. Okay? And so David's sin was put away. "You've done wrong, but I'm going to put away your sin. I'm going to leave you on the throne and let you be king. And then I'm going to tell the whole world that you're a man after my own heart, doing all of my will. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I love you. The reason why you are here today, though some of you have done wrong, some of you have done some real bad stuff, grimy, but he's still calling you saint, holy, righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he hasn't ripped you from the kingdom. He hasn't exposed you, because love covers a multitude of sins. And he gives you the grace to stand because he loves you. And his love will never stop. It will never stop. Is that a license to do wrong? No. You should let that love purify you and cause you to live righteously before him. So I say, God loves me. Say, the Father loves me. Somebody say, he loves me deeply. Somebody say, he loves me intimately. Somebody say, he loves me forever. This love is very real, y'all. Paul said, I am persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of God. And he gave a whole list of things. So there's nothing you have done, nothing that's happening in your life. Some people that have problems, they say, oh, I thought God loved me. God loves you. Go to him with your problems and he'll get rid of the problem with you and for you. Amen. Cast your kids upon the Lord because what? He cares for you. He watches over you. Now, some of you, you have what I call daddy issues. You have a good relationship with your dad and you think God the Father is like your dad. He's not. He is tender. He is loving. He is kind. One day the Lord said to me, he said, Maurice, talk about the body of Christ. Many people in the body of Christ in my church do not know how kind I am. And he had me teach on kindness, that God is kind. Now, I never really related to that kind of thing when I first was a believer. You know, I'm this young Christian. I want to hear about power, dominion, success, prosperity. God's going to kill his enemies. God's going to, you know, casting out demons, speaking in tongues, Holy Ghost, power and fire, running around, we dancing. I want to hear about all this kindness stuff. But then that wave of grace came through the body of Christ, and I began to pick up on the fact that God is kind. I never even understood what David meant when he said, your loving kindness is better than life. I said, what does that mean? That sounds weird. Sounds very girly. That's something women say. Oh, you're loving kind. I'm a man. I don't want to say all that. But when you get a revelation of grace and God's love, you realize this is the revelation. That God is love. Amen? We were created because God is love. Love always has to have an object to love. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's what the Bible calls Jesus, the son of his love, his dear son. And that love the Father has towards Jesus, he has towards us. Isn't that good news? That's what the Bible says. You've been made accepted in the beloved. Notice in that particular verse, Ephesians 1:6, he didn't say you've been accepted in Christ. He said you've been accepted in the beloved. Paul's trying to bring out a point that Jesus is the beloved son of God, and because you're in him, you're just as beloved. Is that hard to believe? Is it hard to believe that God the Father loves you just as much as he loves Jesus? Someone's like, nah, I ain't trying to hear that. Receive it. Amen. Say, God the Father loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. If you don't believe me, read John 17. It's in his prayer. Come on, somebody. You're dealing with the walking Bible here. Okay. God loves you. Number two, write this down. He will never stop forgiving you and cleansing you from all your sin. David said, blessed is the man who is forgiven. You are blessed because you are forgiven. You are in the state of forgiveness. Ephesians 1 says that in him we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. You have it. Colossians says that he's wiped your entire slate clean. And you are a forgiven person. You are a forgiven saint. You stand before the presence of God forgiving. However, there are things we do. Paul talks about the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. So you can put some dirt on you. But we have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just. Faithful what? Faithful to his love. Faithful to us to forgive us and what? Cleanse us from all unright. Anybody ever sinned and you went to the Father and you said, God, I did it. And you felt that cleansing power over your soul. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. I've been there many times. Those angels are like, man, he's working for 1 John 1:9. My Lord. She's like, he sure is. But every time, I'm getting the forgiveness. I'm getting the cleansing. Amen? And I stand confident in his presence. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. 1 John 1 says, the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. It's a continual flow. And let me tell you something. I didn't say this in the last service. God, the Father, is not afraid of your sin. Sometimes the holiness preacher is like, oh, you know, holiness of hell. You know, as if God is afraid of sin. God is not afraid of sin. He despises sin, but he doesn't despise you. He's not afraid of sin, and he will keep forgiving you until you stop sinning. That's how faithful he is. He's not like human beings. Like, I've had enough. God is never going to tell you, I've had enough. He's going to tell you to stop, but he's going to tell you, I'm here to love you, to have mercy upon you, and to forgive you, and to strengthen you so you can walk the straight and narrow way. Isn't that good news? So never run from God. Always run to him if you make a mistake. Amen. The Bible says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Isn't that good news? Jesus is in heaven saying, Father, look at my blood. I did it for them. I did it for them. The Bible says the blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat. That's a very deep thing. We don't have time to go into that. But basically, God is looking at that mercy seat, the place where he wants to show mercy. And he's seen that blood and he's saying, they're forgiven. They're forgiven. They're forgiven. Every day, God is forgiving people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he's a forgiver. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all of my iniquities. That's one of the benefits of being in the kingdom. He forgives all of them. Well, Pastor Maurice, I really messed up. You know, doesn't make a difference what it is. But I, doesn't make a difference. God saw it, God knew it before you did it. The Bible says that Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before he even created Adam and Eve, before he even said, let there be light, God said, let me make provision because I know they're going to sin. I don't want them to, but I know they're going to. So let me make provision. Nothing takes God by surprise, even your sin. And the Bible says he's ready to forgive you. Look at this next scripture. Psalm 86:5. For you, Lord, are good. Somebody say, he's good. And ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Ready to forgive. You're ready to forgive because I know you're going to do wrong. I don't want you to do wrong, but I know you're going to. But I'm ready to forgive. And the Bible, in another lexicon, says he's forgiving. That's actually what it means, forgiving, that Hebrew word. So you can read it this way. For you, Lord, are good and forgiving and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Somebody say abundant in mercy. He has a lot of mercy to give you. But what you have to do, ask for it. Jesus said in Matthew 6, the Father knows what you have need of, but you have to ask him. And if you need forgiveness, if you need mercy, say, Lord, have mercy on me. One of my pastors, the one who's preaching today, told his son, you know, this guy, he's parents are from Sierra Leone, he's 6-something, he's a bodybuilder, and he's no punk. But he told his son, I don't want you to fight. And he's going to teach him how to fight, but I still don't want you to fight. He said, because when I got saved, I didn't fight anymore. And you don't have to fight. So he said, if somebody approaches you, the first thing I want you to do is say, Lord, have mercy. He told him that lesson. I didn't know this. So guess what happened? His son was in a situation. He's like 10 years old. He's 11 now, but he was 10. A situation where some young lady wanted to fight him. She was ready to go. And he could handle himself, but he didn't want to fight, like his dad taught him. And he said, Lord, have mercy. And the girl literally turned her attention to someone else and didn't fight him. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Teach your children. In your situation, you need help. Say, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Amen. No one has to be afraid of anything. Amen. Praise the Lord. I even tell the woman in my church, don't you dare be afraid of being violated by somebody. You plead the blood of Jesus over yourself, and if somebody tries to approach you, you say, the blood of Jesus against you. And if you spray a field, start speaking in tongues, they're going to run. Amen. Amen. They will run. You're like, all right, I'm done. Bye. But you cry and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. That the doctor gives you a negative report. Oh, you got stage 4 cancer. Lord, have mercy on this body. And then you go to believe God for your healing. Whatever it is, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Jesus, we thank you. His mercy is over this congregation right now. His hand of mercy is over you right now. Blessing you, healing you, fixing things for you. Number 3, he will never stop hearing you and helping you. Somebody say, he hears me and he helps me. 2 Corinthians 6, 1-2, NIV version. And as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. The word grace means favor. For he says, so the reason why you don't receive the grace in vain, the reason why you receive all that God has for you, when it means don't receive the grace in vain, means don't neglect the promises. Don't neglect the covenant. Don't neglect what God wants to do in your life through his grace, through his favor. And the reason why you don't do that, because if you do, then what he did for you will be in vain. Put it this way. Paul says this. Now, some of our brothers, evangelical brothers, will say, no, it's talking about spiritual riches. It's not. You read the context, especially the people who love context. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for I know the grace, the what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now, I can work that verse, but I don't got the time right now. That word rich comes from the Greek word pluto, where we get the word plutocrat, one who rules by their wealth. Jesus died so you can rule by your wealth. He said, I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the good news to the poor? You going to still be on welfare? No, it's going to be poor no more. Hallelujah. The point of a bread line and a food line is not to have the food line forever for the same people. It's for people to be lifted up, and then the next crew that need to be helped, we help you, but lift you up. But if you don't believe in prosperity, what Jesus did on the cross in that area is in vain in your life. So you receive the forgiveness of sins, you receive healing, but are not receiving the prosperity part. So that's receiving the grace of God in vain. Amen. Amen. Receive everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, because he says, in time of my favor, I heard you. And in the days of salvation, I helped you. He's quoting Isaiah. And then he says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Somebody say now. Now. Somebody say now. Now. So God is hearing you what? Now. He's helping you when? Now. He's hearing you when? Now. He's helping you when? Now. Somebody shout now. Now. Yes. Don't let the devil deceive you and put your help into the future. Or put your help in the back. Oh, yeah, I remember that time when I prayed and God did. Okay, that's wonderful. But what is God doing for you now? What are you believing now? Don't rob your present looking for the future. Don't rob your present thinking about the past. What are you believing right now? How is God helping you now? What are you praying about right now? He's a right now God. Somebody say, he's a right now God. Give your neighbor a high five and say, right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil make you think your prayers are unworthy. No, I feel my help coming on. Hey. Your prayers are not unworthy. Heaven stands at attention. As soon as you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, all the heaven is listening. Oh, but I prayed and nothing happened. Keep praying. Because Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Is Jesus a liar? I don't think he is. I dare you to call him one. Let's see what happens. Nah. Matthew 7:7. I just quoted to you. Then Jesus emphasized it again by saying in verse 8 of Matthew 7, everyone who asks receives. To him who seeks, he finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. He's giving you a guarantee in prayer. Amen. Oh, but I pray. Okay, I don't care about what happened with so-and-so. I don't care what happened the other time. The Bible says he will hear you and he will what? Help you. Amen. Call upon me and I will what? Answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. Things you've not experienced before, I can do and will do for you if you believe. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. It's time to believe God for big things. Don't think small because God is not small. Don't believe small because God is not small. God is a big God. He wants to hear you. He wants to help you. And he wants to do big things in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Remember when Jesus, now I don't know what's going on because I'm totally off script. Hey, remember when Jesus went to the wedding of Galilee? Cana of Galilee. It tells you something. Jesus was social. So you can be deep and be social. Go to weddings. Oh, I don't go to weddings. I'm fasting and praying. Please stop. If the Son of God went to a wedding, you better go to a wedding. Amen. The right one. But anyway, let's not go there. No, 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 no. Let me behave. I can see Boyan now. Maurice, do not go there. But... Because he know I will. But anyway, I'll say it for my church. He went to the wedding of Cana of Galilee. I guess the audience knows what I'm thinking. But they went to the wedding, Cana of Galilee, and they ran out of wine. That's a whole nother thing. Sorry, AOG. It was real wine. It wasn't grape juice. But anyway, his mother said, they ran out of wine, and he said, Mom. The Bible says woman, but he's really saying, Mom, what does it do with me? My hour has not yet come. She basically ignores him. Said, okay, I can see at this moment I can't control the manifestation of the Spirit. But you got to understand something. Why did she go to him? She must have been used to seeing him constantly providing for people, constantly fixing things, constantly helping people out, or she may have gone to him. So, guess what? Her expectation was so high, when he even said, Mom, our time is not yet, it has nothing to do with me. She went to the servants, the attendants, and said, whatever he tells you, do it. Now, why would she say that when he just said, this is none of my business, and my time has not yet come? In her mind, in her heart, your time is coming. You're going to do something about this. You know how mothers are. Bossy. And guess what happened? Jesus did do something. The Spirit did move. Her expectation activated something. And the Bible says that he says, these water pots, fill them with water. They did. They obeyed him. So now take some out, draw it, and give it to the master of the feast. They did. And he said, you saved the best wine to last. Jesus gives the best. Jesus gives the best. He has heard you, and he's going to help you. Now watch this. The Bible is not for people getting drunk. But the Bible says, and preachers don't like to preach this, but it's in the Bible. When they were well drunken, is it in the book? Come on, I know this man knows the word. When they were well drunken, he still made more wine. Because the Lord is serious about hearing and helping his people. And people in general. So don't stop praying. Don't stop asking. The devil would love for you to. Just start thanking more. And you're going to see more manifestation of the thing you've been asking for. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number four, we're skipping some things. He will never stop making life good for you. And I didn't catch the time again, so you could please let me know. All right. Jeremiah 32, 40. NLT version again. It says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop. Somebody say, never stop.
Never stop.
Doing good for them. Whoa, we can go home on that. I will never stop. Now, this is an Old Testament scripture, but it's an Old Testament scripture that's in the prophetic part of salvation. So this applies to us. I will never stop doing good for them. And actually, you need to read the next verse when you get a chance, because God talks about how excited he is about doing good for you. When God does good for you, he's not doing it reluctantly. When God heals you, when God blesses you financially, when God opens the door for you, when God gives you a promotion in your job, he's not doing it, let me just do a little favor. She get on my nerves, but let me do it. God is not like that. God is saying, he's not like your parents say, you don't really deserve this, but here. No, God is saying, you deserve it. You're a king, you're a queen, you're all of that. My beloved son, my beloved daughter, here you go. Now, how do you know scripturally God is like that, his attitude? I'm going to give you James again. Now, James is a tough book. Am I right? Anybody read the book of James? He's tough. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. I'm like, whoa. I'm a sinner in Christ, bro. But he understood God's favor and grace and God's goodness, because he's the one who says every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, right? But there's something very interesting that he says in James 1 that people miss. If anyone lacks wisdom, everyone focuses on if you fall in divers temptations, count it all joy, because they're trouble-minded. But he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It don't stop there. Who gives to all men what? Liberally or generously. What did he say? All men. He's a generous God. Hey. I feel like T.D. Jakes. Get ready. Amen. All in, and here's the part that people don't teach. And does, and I'm quoting the King James because that's how I memorized it. And upbraids not. Upbraids not. You know what that means? He doesn't assault you with abusive words of the past. He doesn't remind you of how wrong you are or the wrong you did and why you don't deserve his wisdom. God doesn't do that. So he's never saying, I'm going to do this for you, but I really don't want to do it. He's like, I'm happy to do it, son. I'm happy to do it, daughter. That's what the father is saying to you. That's why the devil doesn't want you to pray. That's why the devil doesn't want you to believe that God wants you to have the things that you desire. Let me give you another scripture. This Lord is going in this direction. Jesus says, if you being evil, now we're not evil, but that audience was. We're born again. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, oh my God. Amen. You being a sinner, you being a human being, know how to give good gifts to your children, and your children get on your nerves. How much more? Somebody say, how much more? Oh, we need to do a sermon called How Much More? How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who what? Ask him. But it goes deeper. Now I'm in the flow, so you really got to tell me. Okay, you got 10 more minutes. I'll preach for an hour, 20 minutes. It goes deeper. He said, If your kid asked you for bread, would you give him a stone? Anybody remember that? And he said, if he asked you, what's the other thing? Fish. Would you give him a serpent? Now, do you know why Jesus said that? Does anybody know why Jesus said that? Any theologians up in here? All right, I'm the only one. All right. I'm messing around. I like to play around sometimes. Jesus said that, if you study it out, in that time, there were stones that looked like bread. They were flat. They were white. There were fish, serpents that can curl up in a certain way and look like a fish. So Jesus is saying several things. One, God will never give you anything that's going to hurt you. Two, he's not going to give you something that looks like what you asked for. He's going to give you what you asked for. That's how much he's hearing you and what? Helping you. When Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb, he said, Father, I thank you that you have what? Heard me. Someone doing it for their sake. I don't really need to say that because I know you heard me. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. After 4 days of being dead, he hopped out. Because Jesus knew, I am a son of the living God who has been heard. If you start believing that God is really hearing you, you're going to see some miraculous things in your life. If you start believing that God is serious about helping you, you're going to see some dynamic breakthroughs in your life. Not next year, not 10 years from now, right now. So I say right now, this year, expect God to hear you and to help you. Hallelujah. He's a good God who loves his people. Thank you, Jesus. And he made life good for David. He made life good for Joseph. Remember Joseph, what he went through? God turned that whole thing around and made life good for him. And we're in the generation, we're in the age of grace, where God will turn everything around and make things good for you. That's why we say all things are working together for your what? Good. Because you love God and you're called according to his purpose. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you what? Some days of your life? Some days of your life? A few days of your life? On your birthday? On Christmas? All the God is not a Christmas God. Sometimes we take our life concepts and we put it on God. You need the word to remind, to renew your mind. He's not a Christmas God. What does that mean? He's not waiting for a special day to bless you. Every day is a day of receiving. Someone say, today is my receiving day. Today, I receive the help I need, the love I need, the breakthrough I need, the money I need. Somebody say, today, hallelujah. You need healing in your body, receive today. Thank you, Jesus. You need understanding today. Hallelujah. Don't put it off. Today. This guy is receiving joy today. Amen. I don't have the time to go into all the people in the Bible that God made life good for them. But if you study it, he made life good for everybody. He'll make life good for you. So I say he's making life good for me right now. The Lord is my shepherd, not going to be one day. He makes me right now lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me the path of righteousness for his name's sake. If you study it out, the word righteousness really should be translated prosperity or victory. In the context of the psalm and the Hebrew word, if you study the word out, go to your James Concordance. It says righteousness, prosperity, victory. The Hebrew mind considered righteousness, prosperity. Read Psalm 112, you understand what I'm talking about. And Paul quotes that with Psalm 112 in 2 Corinthians 9. He will increase the fruits of your righteousness. I can increase the fruits of my righteousness. What are you talking about? We talk about money. You talk about righteousness? Because the Hebrew mind, righteousness also meant prosperity. So really, the better translation would be, he leads you in the path of prosperity for his name's sake. His reputation is on the line. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They what? Comfort me. God wants to bring you comfort. You prepare a what? Table before me in the presence of my what? Enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup what? Runs over. Then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God is good. Amen. And he's making life good for you. Amen? Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the last point, point number five, he will never stop healing you. Acts 10:38, and we're done. And we're going to have people stand up and get healed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. There's power in this place. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Somebody say, God is with me. And God was with Jesus. And he healed people all the time. The scriptures that says, and he healed them all. God, that's talking about the people right there showing God's will. I want to heal everybody. There's a scripture that talks about how he was among some religious leaders who were like hating on him. But the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them, though they didn't get healed. So something can be present for you and you not receive it. Amen? And so the healing power of God is always present to heal you. Now, it's wonderful to get healed in church. Words of knowledge, gifts of healings. Pastor lay hands on you. Somebody lays hands on you. Beautiful. But you can receive healing on your bed. You can receive healing in your kitchen. You can receive healing in your bathroom. The power of the Lord is present everywhere. All you're going to do is plug your faith into it and say, I receive my healing. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a leper who said to Jesus, came running to him and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He said, listen, bro, I'm about to kill that concept. I'm not only able, I'm always willing. I am willing, be cleansed. He stretched his hand forth, and the Bible says, immediately the leprosy left him. God is the God of the immediate response. Even if your manifestation is not immediate, he has heard you right now. If in the Old Testament he heard Daniel, under the New Covenant, he's heard you. Remember the angel who came 21 days later? And he said, from the day you prayed, the Father heard you. I've come because of your words. God is healing you now. If you're sick in your body, stand to your feet. We're not going to have a healing line. You're sick in your body. Stand to your feet. Well, it's a lot of you. If you're sick in your body, not everybody, just if you're sick, you have a disease, you have a pain, put your hand on that place where the pain or the sickness is. You may feel some warmth. Hallelujah. And say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the healing anointing. I thank you for healing grace. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this sickness, over this disease, over this pain. And I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I release the healing power of God into my own body. And I say, thank you, Father, for the healing anointing, for your healing grace. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed in Jesus' name. Go ahead and lift your hands and praise God for your healing. Hallelujah. Some of you should already see a change. Wave your hand if you feel something different in your body. Wave your hand. I see that one hand. Anybody else? I see another hand. Something different. I see that other hand. Praise God. Anybody else? Something different in your body. I see that hand. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. I see that hand too. If you couldn't bend down, bend down. If you couldn't move your knee or your leg or some other kind of pain, it's gone now in Jesus' name. He's a healer. Hallelujah. And he loves you. There's one more thing I'm going to do, and we're done. If you are in this place and you're not born again, you are what the Bible calls an unbeliever. But you don't have to leave this place an unbeliever. You can leave here a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, oh, I believe in Jesus. No, I'm talking about a believer, somebody who receives him as Savior. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I know this culture says there ain't no hell. It is there. And the Bible says that if you don't receive Jesus, that's where you go. But if you want to turn that around, it's easy because Jesus did all the work. And say, Pastor Maurice, that's me. I don't want to go to hell. I want a relationship with God. I want to live for Jesus. I want my name written in the book of life. If that's you, raise your hand high and we're going to pray with you and you're going to be born again. Raise your hand high. If there's anyone in here, I see that one hand. Anybody else? I am not saved. I don't know Jesus. I'm not born again, but I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want a life with Christ. If that's you, raise your hand high, and we are going to pray with you for you to receive Jesus. Amen. All right, sir, stand up. Praise the Lord. Come forward real quick. Praise God. Come on, are you going to give this man a hand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stand right here. Praise God. Anybody else want to come? Going once, going twice. One more call. If that's you, I want to be saved, Pastor Maurice. I want to give my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. This altar call was for you, sir. You're about to change your eternal destiny. God loves you. He cares about you. And you're about to write your ticket to heaven. Bow your head and say this with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I don't want to be a sinner no more. I believe that you died for my sins and God raised you from the dead. You are alive today. You are Lord. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior and be my Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I've just been born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on and shout. This is the most important thing that happened today. This man just went from death to life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, congratulations, sir. God bless you. And does he go to the back or go back to his seat? You go back to your seat and fill out a card, and then they'll get to you and tell you what to do next, okay? Can I give you a hug? Welcome to the family of God. Praise God. City Light, thank you. I love you. You are blessed. You're going higher. Amen. Thank you, Pastor James.
This is the City Light Church Podcast. If you've missed any part of today's message, or if you would like to find out more about Pastor Bojan Jancic and City Light Church, visit us at citylightnyc.com. That's citylightnyc.com. Feel free to visit us online or in person anytime. We would love to connect with you. We pray that you have been encouraged today, that you have been reminded how much God loves you, and that you are surrounded by grace. Thank you for listening. Make sure that you subscribe to City Light Church Podcast wherever you find your favorite podcasts worldwide.